Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is found in the second chapter of the book of James. James chapter 2 and verse 17. James chapter 2, verse 17. James is speaking on faith, and he says, "Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone." Once again, a very pleasant good morning to you. We are so appreciative for the wonderful crowd that we have echoing Dustin's sentiments there in our welcome. And we're so appreciative of you and your desire to be here. Our visitors, once you know, we're thankful that you're here. And a good day to visit. Any Lord's Day is a good day to visit in my mind. We're glad that you are here as we worship God. And we'd like to extend an invitation for those who are listening with us that you join us any chance that you may have here at the Arlington Church of Christ, 2500 Faulkner Springs Road here in McMinnville. There were three older church ladies who had gone to church their whole lives and lived in different parts of the county, and they went to different congregations, and they'd get together on Monday mornings and kind of have coffee and just get together and enjoy each other's company. And the first one said, "I tell you what, last night at service, we were down. We just had about 40 or 50. The next lady said, "Oh, 40 or 50, we had about 15. The little old maid in the corner just piped up and she said, "You think that's bad? Our number was so low last night when the preacher said, 'Dearly beloved,' I thought he was talking to me." Okay, well, we're glad that you're here. And that will kind of launch us in just a moment to talk about being present in worship. I would like to, though, personally extend to you an invitation tonight at 5 o'clock. I will be preaching at the East End Church of Christ here in McMinnville. Brother Kevin is on his way to the Fried Hardeman Lectureship, as are many people this week, the 88th Annual Fried Hardeman Lectureship. I'm not going. So I will be preaching for him. I thought I was going to have to preach for him and at Rockcliffe, but that's fine. I'll just be at East End. And I would love to see you tonight at 5 o'clock. We'll talk about seven people that I want to see in heaven. And I want to see you there tonight if you could. 5 o'clock at East End. And Dustin, I just got to say, I love you dearly. And you may want this to be a short sermon. Here's the deal. That food's going to be there, no matter if I stop in 11 minutes or if I don't, because I have smelt it myself, but I will keep a track on time. But I have something laid before us that I hope you will take in love. What I'm about to preach, I am preaching to me and to you and anyone that may ever hear this lesson. And I'm going to do my best to speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4 and verse 15. But some of the material I have planned before us today is not just going to be a walk in the park with roses. I want us to talk about when I was absent from worship. I saw that phrase and the idea behind this and ran with it. When I was absent from worship. Now, maybe reminiscent some of this lesson to you if you ever watched, I know the show is no longer on, The Late Show with David Letterman. He was famous with his top 10 list, and they were usually hit or miss. I have 10 reasons of what happened when I was absent from worship, so we won't spend any length too long, hopefully, on any one of them. But what happened when I was absent from worship, and I've almost made it like a sheet sermon, but I'm only going to put two on each slide, so maybe we won't take up the whole screen. Number one, when I was absent from worship, it made people question the reality of my religious faith. When I was absent, it made people around me question my faith. Pick up with me here in James chapter 2 and verse number 17. We're in, as I said, the faith chapter. And James begins talking about faith here, and he will use the rest of chapter 2 to talk about faith. There is an active faith, there is a passive faith, and we as Christians are commanded to have an active faith. We can't sit passively by in being a Christian and expect all of God's blessings. We must work. Our closing song in today's worship hour is "Work, for the Night is Coming." And I didn't ask Gary to do that, but that's a good one, because we as Christians must work. Notice here, even so, faith, If it has not works, it's dead, because it is alone. And then he gives you a scenario of a man says, you have faith, I have works, show me your faith. Without thy works, I'll show you my faith by my works. You must have faith and works to be a Christian. The best way I've ever heard it described is you're in a boat in the middle of a lake, and you have two oars, and the oar in one hand is faith. That's its name. And the oar in the other hand's name is work. And if you want to get across the lake, you have to use both faith and works. Because if you just use faith, you'll spin in a circle this way. And if you just have works, you'll spin in a circle that way. But if you want to get to your destination, faith and works will propel the boat. Well, it's the same way for a Christian. Faith alone will not save. Notice verse 24. You see then how that a man, and he's used Abraham as an example, he says it's justified not by faith only. Our religious friends in the world want to preach a doctrine of faith only to be saved. The only time faith and the word only appear next to each other in scriptures right here. I've checked. And it says not by faith only. See, when I was absent from worship, it made those around me question my faith. Now, as we go into this a little bit more, I do need to explain. I'm not talking about if you're lying in the bed with a fever, if you can't get out because you have some contagious disease, if you've broken both your legs and your arms and you can't drive. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the willful absence from church. Because there are many people who decide to, on purpose, not come. I can't fathom that idea. That's not in my mindset. In fact, I'll just tell you now, when I'm sick, I feel like the world's ending because I didn't get to go to worship. And it just messed my whole week up. But we're talking about when people purposely miss. So number one, it makes other people question their faith. Number two, when I was absent from worship, it set an example of neglecting the assembly and failing to obey an inspired command. When I was absent, it set forth an example that I want to neglect and I don't want to obey what God has commanded. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. What may be referred to as the hallmark passage on attendance, rightfully so. Hebrews chapter 10, just back a book, and verse 25. Now notice the Hebrew writer has just given us some exhortations. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith. Let us, verse 23, hold fast the profession of our faith. Verse 24, let us consider one another good works. And then he sums it up, verse 25. Not, see I know because verse 24 ends in a colon, so that thought keeps going. Provoked to good works, how? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. See, there were some people in the first century that didn't want to go to worship. He says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That is a command, dear friends, from God Almighty, written in His complete, inspired Word, that He commands me to assemble, and He commands me to worship. So when I was absent, it set out my example of neglecting the assembly. And I was also in violation of obeying a command. And you say, well, that's not that bad. You cannot attend. Friends, I encourage you to read the New Testament and point out the list of commands from God that I cannot obey. Obeying this command is just equated to obeying the command of repenting to be saved. A command is a command, and if you do it, you receive the blessing. If you don't do it, you don't receive it. So when I was absent, then I was disobeying God's command. Let's move on to number three. I told you we're not going to spend too long on any of them. Number three, when I was absent from worship, I failed to observe an example set forth by the early church in partaking of the Lord's Supper. Run that reference with me in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. When I was absent, I failed to follow an example that was given to me in Scripture of partaking of the Lord's Supper. Notice here what's happened in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. This chapter is Troas on the Lord's Day. Paul has been journeying on that last missionary journey, and he's been going everywhere. And notice, verse 5, these going before tarried, they waited for us at Troas. After he sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, he was observing a feast. We came unto them to Troas in 5 days. It was a 5-day journey. And notice, the Bible says that Paul stayed there 7 days. Why would Paul wait on his journey 7 days? Let me show you. Verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and he continued his speech until midnight. Paul evidently got there, and he wanted to spend the next Sunday with them, the church of Christ at Troas. And so he delayed his travels 7 days. So he got there, late Sunday night? He'd already missed worship. So he's going to wait till the following Sunday. And the Bible says, he preached a long sermon till midnight. Probably really didn't. Because Sunday wasn't a sacred day in their calendar. Their sacred day off was Saturday. So all these people, they went to work. And then they came to church. They probably met in the evening or even at nighttime. And so, of course, if you don't get up to preach till 8 o'clock, well, that's only 4 hours you have to preach as opposed to preaching at 8 a.m. in the morning. That's a long time to go. But notice, upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to do what? They came together to break bread. We, as Christians, are commanded by the Lord, and this passage, among others, upon the first day of the week, we assemble to remember the Lord's Supper. It is set out before us here, and in just a few moments, we will partake of it. And it's on the first day of the week. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 that you do show the Lord's death until He comes. Now, last time I checked, Jesus Christ hasn't come back yet because we're still here. Which means every first day of the week, which incidentally every week has a first day. That every first day of the week I need to go to worship because it's a command that I partake of the Lord's Supper. And I better be in the right mindset. If I'm sitting there going, I had to come today to take the Lord's Supper, you're doing it wrong. Let a man examine himself. Number 3, I failed to observe the Lord's Supper. Number 4, when I was absent from worship, I made it impossible for the elders of the church to see that the entire flock was taught the Word of God. When I wasn't there, the elders couldn't see that I was being properly fed. Notice here, stay in our chapter, Acts chapter 20. And verse 28, Paul has sailed on because he's on that missionary journey. Paul is going to go to the place of Miletus, and he sends for the elders of the church at Ephesus, a place he spent 3 years laboring, and he loved these brethren dearly. And he knew that he was probably never going to see them again, so they go up to meet him, and they have this beautiful time together. And notice what he says unto them, verse 28, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. In full disclosure, my elders didn't ask me or tell me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyways. I think we serve under 2 wonderful elders. I pray for Bobby and I pray for Brad every day, and I'm glad that they are leading our congregation in a way according to what the Bible says. And I hope you're thankful for them as well. And one of their jobs is they've got to make sure that our congregation, our flock, is being fed. And being fed the truth, being fed the good stuff. None of that imitation food. And one of the easiest ways they do that is when they see that you're here. And if they hear the same lesson that you hear, then they know what you've been taught. But if you're not here, they don't know what you've been taught, if you've been taught anything. Not that you can't go visit. It's not what I'm saying. But they're going to have to give account for your souls. Bobby and Brad on the day of judgment are going to stand before God and answer for themselves and the way they've led their family as a father. But they're going to have to answer for every member at the Arlington Church of Christ. So make their life easy and be here. Don't be doing things they're going to have to hunt you down. You don't like it tough. That's the job of an elder. But see, when I was absent, they couldn't check on me easily. They didn't know that I was being fed that day. Let's move on. Number 5. when I was absent for worship, it indicated that I was not concerned about assembling with my brethren. And a promise from the Lord. Matthew 18. Go there with me if you will. Matthew 18 and verse 20. When I was absent from worship, it indicated that I didn't want to be with my fellow brethren. Now, as we turn to Matthew chapter 18, this passage is often used out of context. We're going to put it in context and see what it is. Verse 15, Jesus says, "Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, tell him his fault between thee and he alone. And if he hear thee, you've gained a brother. If Dustin does me wrong, I am to go to Dustin and say, 'Hey, you offended me, you hurt me, you stole from me,' whatever," and he hasn't. "But I am first to go to him. And if he says, 'I didn't know it, I didn't mean to take that,' whatever the case may be, he makes restitution." Jesus says, "I've gained a brother." Keep going. "But if he won't hear thee, take with thee two or three more," or one or two more, "that in the mouth of two or three witnesses a thing shall be established." That's the Old Testament law. I was to have witnesses. And if Dustin didn't listen, then I would have probably called Bobby and Brad in and be like, "I just need you to come with me. I've got to tell Dustin. He has done this wrong to me." Okay, keep going. Verse 17. "If he neglect that, then you tell it unto the church." You get up and you make a statement. "I have been wrong. Here's what he did. I went. We went. Now I'm bringing it to you." And if he neglect to hear the church, if he neglect to make it right, let him be as a heathen and a publican. That's my chain of command. Too many people want to jump to step three, and they want to go before the whole congregation and say that they've been wronged. No, you can't do that until you've gone to that individual. And then you can't do that until you've brought witnesses, and then you can do that. But going before the congregation should be a last resort. Now notice what he says. "Verily I say, what you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, loosed on earth, loosed in heaven. That if two of you agree on anything, it shall be done in them of my heavenly Father. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Now people want to automatically make that the worship. He's talking about an agreement that's happened. But it applies to worship because you have to take it before the church. Now, I'm a firm believer that God is with us today because we are worshiping Him. But don't take it out of context. But think about this. If I'm absent, I might as well not care that He's here and that we're giving Him our worship. I heard a sermon growing up one time, and I don't remember who. It may have been the James Watkins sermon, but don't quote me on that. But he said, you should go to worship with the idea that Jesus Christ is sitting next to you. Because if you knew he was sitting next to you, you'd probably pay better attention and you'd sing louder and you'd pray as hard as you've ever prayed. But he's here because we're worshiping him. But when I'm absent, it's like I'm saying I don't care at all. Let's move on, number six. When I was absent from worship, some people must have concluded I found more pleasure in fellowship with the world than with fellowship with the Lord and my brethren. Run that reference with me, 2 Corinthians 6:14. When I was absent, some people must have thought that he sure enjoys fellowship with the world more than he does fellowship with the Lord and his brethren. Notice what Paul says. And I'm afraid we don't like to read 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14 because it might step on our toes a little bit. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with dark? Be not unequally yoked." Now today, if you want to plow a garden, you're going to put a box blade on the back of your lawnmower or have somebody with a small John Deere or whatever brand you want, but I'm a John Deere guy, so put it back there. But they didn't have that luxury. Mr. Deere hadn't made his invention yet. So you had two oxen, and you had a big piece of wood you'd carved out called a yoke. And you had to have both of them together. Now Amos 3:3 says, "How shall two walk except they be agreed?" And these two oxen had to want to both go straight. They're joined at the neck. If one wants to go left, one wants to go right, they're not going to go anywhere. If one's more domineering than the other wants to go right, and the other one needs to know we need to go straight, they're probably going to go right. He says, "Be not unequally yoked." Don't get me wrong. There are things in the world that are fun to do. They're not sinful. They're not wrong to do. But they become sinful. They become wrong when I choose to do them over going to worship. I like to watch a good movie. Not that any new ones coming out are good, but I like to watch some of the old ones that are good. A Western, you give me a Western every day, man, that hero, his hat never falls off while he's riding a horse. Horses always go twice as fast than they normally do. I love a good Western. But I'm not going to sit at home and watch a Western when I could have been at worship. I like to eat, but I'm not going to go out and eat when I should have been at worship. When I'm absent, it gives the impression that I like more fellowship with the world than with God. Let's move on, number 7. When I was absent from worship, I set the wrong example before my children and others who might be influenced by my presence. Look here at 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. This is the part of the sermon where it might start to hit home with some individuals, because I tell you now, there are many people I look up to in this life, and high on that list is my daddy. And if he tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. My grandfather as well. There's people you look up to in your life. Well, if he would miss worship, I would notice, and that would set a bad example for me. Notice what Paul tells Timothy. Let no man despise thy youth. Now, Timothy's Paul's son in the faith. He's probably about 40. Paul's about 60, but still his son in the faith. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. He says, Timothy, if nothing else, you be an example. And you can be an example just by being there. I won't give you a list of people that it's an encouragement to me that they're here. A lot of them are here today, but others I've worshipped with in my life. And just the fact that they made it to worship encouraged me. Conversely, when some people don't show up, it does discourage me, but you preach to those who are there. But if I'm not here, think about this. You raising families. Even if you're not raising a family, there are people in this building, in this congregation, that look up to you, and they may never tell you. But if I'm absent, I'm setting for them the wrong example, and I don't want to do that. Let's stay in the Timothy books, but go to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10 for this next one. Number 8. When I was absent from worship, if I chose to be absent on a pleasure trip and made no plans to worship God, it would prove I love the Lord too little and the world too much. If I know I'm going to be absent and I don't make plans to worship, I must not love the Lord enough. Notice here 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. Paul is writing the last letter that we can tell Paul ever wrote. He's in prison, and he just knows that he's about to be released from prison. And Nero's the Roman emperor, and Nero doesn't like Paul. Paul loves to preach to Nero, but Nero doesn't like Paul. And so when Paul's released, he loses his head. And it's really hard to preach once your head's been detached from your body. So Paul's life ends. But notice here, as he's closing out, he says, for Demas. Now, Demas used to be a running buddy of Paul on these missionary journeys. Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world, is departed unto Thessalonica. Then he keeps giving a mission report. He says, Timothy, Demas, you knew Demas. Demas was here. He was a running buddy with you and me on these trips. And now he has left me because he likes the present world just a little bit more. The present world a little bit more. I'm not saying you can't take a trip. I like to take vacation. I don't get to do it much, but I like to take it. And I tell you what, first thing I like to do, say I'm going to get to the Smokies. If I'm going to be there on a Sunday or a Wednesday, I make sure I know what time the Gatlinburg Church of Christ is meeting, or the Great Smoky Mountains, or the Sevierville, or at the beach. There's many Gulf Shores Church of Christ. I've been there many a time. I was in New York City trying to find a place to worship, and I did. And I rode a subway for an hour. But I found somewhere to go. I'm not saying look at me, but I'm telling you, you can do it. Too many times people go, well, I'm on vacation, I'm at the beach. God's back there in Warren County. He's not here in Florida on the beach. I can just not go. Friends, he's still there. A favorite quote that condemns a lot of people is, don't forget God on your vacation. Make sure you pack him with you. When I'm absent and I don't make plans to attend if I'm traveling, that's a problem. Two more. Number 9. When I was absent from worship, it set a pattern of irregular church attendance, and in doing so violated the steadfastness in teaching, fellowship, and worship that the apostolic or the first century church engaged in. When I missed, it set a pattern of irregular attendance. Notice here Acts 2, 41 through the end of the chapter. Now what has just happened? The day of Pentecost. This is the first Pentecost since Jesus Christ died that week of the Passover. He was buried, rose again that third day. 40 days he was on the earth. This is just 10 days after that. Peter preaches a sermon. Pricks that audience, has them right there in his hand, pricks them in their hearts. They chant out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved?" He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Holy Ghost for the remission of sins. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For a promise is unto us and to all those who are far off." Pick up verse 41. "Then they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day were added about 3,000 souls, first Christians. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers." I can find every act of worship in that verse, can't you? "The early church immediately started worshiping, and fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. All that believed were together. They had all things in common. They sold their goods and possessions, parted to every man. They continuing daily in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness, singing as a heart, praising God, having found favor with all the people. The Lord added church daily, such as should be saved," or as they were being saved daily, God put them in the church. The first Christians immediately went worshiping. They didn't say, "Well, I'm going to become a Christian today and give me a month or two to get my life right." No, right then and there, they changed their lives and started worshiping. "But when I was absent, I set a pattern of irregular church attendance." Let's close out. Number 10. "When I was absent from worship, on the day I willingly chose to be absent, I failed to walk in the light, and I did not enjoy fellowship with my brethren." When I willingly was absent, I didn't get to walk in the light. I didn't get to enjoy fellowship. Notice 1 John 1, verse 7. "But if," it's conditional, "if we walk in the light as He," Jesus Christ, "is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins." I don't get that if I'm not walking in the light, if I am not enjoying fellowship. I hope you never come to church begrudgingly. I hope you are never upset that you get to come and spend time with other individuals who are like-minded. Because let's be honest, out in the world, it's hard to find two or three people that are all like-minded. But I know we're here for the same reason: to worship God in spirit and in truth, to be obedient, faithful to Him, living our lives in such a way one day we'll hear, "Well done, a good and faithful servant." If you're not here for that reason, let's talk after service. Maybe I can persuade you to have that attitude of why you come to worship. But when I'm absent, I don't get to enjoy fellowship. I don't get to walk in the light. Now what do we do? Who knew being absent from worship meant so much? Now, I know. I can already hear you. I can read minds sometimes, which is scary. And you're saying, "Brother Justin, I'm here. I heard the lesson." You're right. You did. Congratulations. Thanks for realizing you're here with us in this moment. But maybe you'll tuck these away and remember them in case you ever decide to be absent. Maybe you've jotted some stuff down, or I can get you a copy of this, whatever that will help you, that maybe you can use to influence somebody else. This is my closing statement, and the lesson is yours. Invitation song 772. "Be resolved to be here every time the saints assemble." Did you know we meet for worship at 9, Bible class at 10, worship at 11, and 7 p.m. Wednesday night for Bible study? We do. And we'd like to see you here at all of our services at the Arlington Church of Christ. If you're not a Christian, can I encourage you to be one? Is our song, Why Do We Wait? Thought so. I was getting it mixed with the one I led earlier. Why do you wait, delaying obedience to God? Why do you wait, dear brother? The harvest is passing away. Why not become a Christian this very hour if you're not one? Dear Christian friend, if your life is not right with the Lord, can I ask you again in all sincerity and with as much love as I can muster towards you, why do you wait to make your life right? If you know you're not heading in that right direction, tomorrow may be too late to borrow another invitation song. I'm not trying to scare you. I want you to be well informed. If you know you're not walking the straight and narrow, why don't you get back on track? We're going to sing this invitation song to encourage you to become a Christian or to repent of your sins. If we can help in any way at all, we humbly ask you, let it be known while we stand and while we sing.